Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. You know, we have a hell of a show for you tonight, but our first interview, we're going to have to kind of keep a little short. He's feeling a little bit under the weather, and, you know, he's just getting right into fight camp. You know, he's a tremendous warrior in this sport. He's part of my 86er.net fam and a tremendous brother in life. Welcome, my mate, Linton Vasil. Linton, how you doing, mate?
What's up, man? As you know, obviously, I'm not feeling too great. Just a bit fucking under the weather, but I'll live, you know. But fight camp hasn't started yet. I've been training, but I usually do seven to eight solid weeks, you know, diet and full-on training. So now, obviously, thank God, it's not interrupting with my fight camp. It's just, you know, I'm training, just working a few things, and helping a few guys out also.
You stay fight ready anyway, brother. Come on now. You know, I've seen the pictures you've been posting.
Yeah, well, on a real though, you cannot, you know, take this fight game slip. You can't get caught slipping at the end of the day. I've been there, done that, took fights in short notice, and, you know, the rest is history. But you have to stay, I say, relatively in shape. So if you do get a last-minute call, you know, you never know, a world title fight might come up. You can jump on within 2 weeks or something. So it's done. Bisping did it. You know what I mean? Like, someone else did it as well in a couple of weeks' notice.
You know, I think it's tremendous because here we're getting set for Bellator 200, you know, and you're getting, this is a fight that I think is right up the alley of the swarm. You know, Mr. Wonderful Phil Davis, how content are you walking into the octagon that night? Because, I mean, if I know you like I think I know you, I've been interviewing you for almost 3 years now, close to it, two something. I don't know how long it's been, but I think this is a fight, a perfect fight for you. What are your thoughts going into you? Into, I was going to say UFC 200, shame on me, going into Bellator MMA 200.
I totally agree. This is a perfect fight for me. You know, like, my last fight, it didn't go my way. But this actually, like, has, like, lit a fire under me. I thought I was already hungry. But me losing against Ryan Bader, the way I lost, does not sit well with me. You know, win or lose, I'm better than the way I went out, you know. From previous losses, I've lost, but I've gone the distance, if you know what I mean, or I've been finished in the later rounds. You know, no disrespect to Bader, he stopped me, you know, the ref court, stepped in, but I know I could have given a better performance, but, you know, that's behind me now. So I'm going to have to, you know, prove it's obviously the fans, to Bellator, and Mr. Wonderful, you know, that I ain't talking about. Simple.
Plain as simple as that. You know, I already know you're not fucking around. You know, I'm glad you kind of brought that up because I know what type of individual you are, and you're a humble man, but you're a devastating man. You know, one thing that I love about what you bring to the sport, you know, you get a lot of these guys that get up where you're at, you know, they get to be world champions, they get to be at the top of the game, and they really don't make time for people in life. That's not the Linton Vasil I know. I know we make light and we give you a bad time and we run ads about your sister's beauty salon over there in the UK, but it's just because you're a good-natured man and you're a tremendous warrior in and out of the cage. You know, you look back, you talk about the Bader fight. You know, I know when Vasil went back to the gym and looked at what he did, and I know it didn't sit right with you. So what kind of statement is Linton Vassell set to throw out to the Bellator MMA nation?
I'm looking at this fight as, you know, to get Bader next. That's exactly the way I'm looking at this fight. You know, I'm not taking Phil lightly at all. He was a former champion. You know, he pretty much came on the scene to Bellator and smashed everyone up. You know what I mean? He hasn't been finished yet. So, obviously, that's on my list. I've already finished one guy, Liam McGeary, you know. So, me finishing Phil Davis will definitely put a big W on my win column and show people, you know, that I'm here to be the best, to be the champ. But I'm looking at, you know, fighting Bader next. That's all I'm, you know, looking at this fight as another number one contender fight.
Yeah, and I think you're going to get it. You know, you look back in the career of Linton Vassell, and you know, you first came out and you got that learning lesson from Emmanuel Newton. Then you came back, then you annihilated Emmanuel Newton. So I only know the thought process of the Swarm. The Swarm is intent on one
losing
thing, and that's getting what's his. Yeah.
Yeah. Losing does not sit well with me.
No.
You know, so I'm coming to, you know, bring the fight, this fight, you know. Yeah. I got nothing else to say, but I'm coming to, you know, to smash it up, man. So I'm just ready to go. Well, I will be ready to go, because right now I'm just laying in bed. So,
you know, mate, I gotta ask, because you know you've taken to social media a little bit more. You've been, you know, posting a little bit more pictures of yourself. You know, the physique is looking tremendous. What, you know, inspired Linton Vassell to kind of transform your physique to optimal performance and look? I mean, right now, I got to say, you look the best you have in the last year and a half.
Thank you. I feel like the man for this is a guy called Sam Tomlin. Back in the day, all I did was lift weights. I didn't know what I was doing. I met him. He introduced me to, like, you know, strength conditioning. So that type of plyometrics with the sprints and all that type of stuff. So I noticed my body changing bit by bit, and my eating habits changed. Like, my friends laugh at me when they say, "What's your cheat meal?" My cheat meal is extra sweet potato or extra rice, and that's just the way, you know. Now and then, yeah, I will eat like a pizza or, you know, a burger or something like that. But, you know, I'm pretty strict. I got a sponsor, Factor 75. You know, they do great food, so they keep me in shape also. But, you know, it's mainly me training hard and staying on top of my diet.
You know, Linton, I'm going to kind of take a step away from the cage here for a second, because you and I both belong to the same family. And, you know, it kind of shocked the world that they signed me. Hell, I'll be honest, it shocked me that they signed me, you know. But I'm talking about the 86ers.net. You know,
yeah.
At first, you know, you look at organizations out there and they talk about it, and they somewhat are about it. But the 86ers.net truly are about it. Where does the 86ers.net sit in the heart of the Swarm? You know, because I'll tell you what, in my heart, it's a tremendous organization that truly does give back and means what they say in and out of the sport, in life, in all aspects. They're giving back to their community. They're creating, you know, opportunities for others in life. What does it mean for a sponsored fighter like you to be a part of that family?
It means the world, you know. For them to actually, you know, come out and put their time in and sponsor me. But not just that, they come to all my fights. We speak on a regular, you know, they're sending me gear, anything I need, anything I want, you know, they're on top. And funny enough, I was speaking to them today. That's pretty much all I wear. 86. I find myself to put a hat on, it's an 86 hat, or if I put a t-shirt on, it's 86s. And it's not on purpose. Obviously, yes, I do brand them, but I just love their actual, you know, products that they've got. And yeah, they really do give back. You know, the amount of people they are sponsoring and giving their time, you know. So yeah, I say all the love from me, and you know, I'm thankful very much for them actually sponsoring me.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest with you, man. You know, my show isn't always about the sport, but I'll be humble here real quick, and because I know we're not going to keep you too terribly long, but. You know, bro, it honestly did make me cry. You know, here I've been in this industry for 21 years, in the journalism aspect for 12, 13 years. And here I get sponsored by the 86ers. And it came by the recommendation of Jacob Stitch Duran. And, you know, I finally felt like I made it, to be honest with you. And then I see what this organization does for people. And... you know, you know I'm missing my leg. So the thing it did for me was it made me feel like I had a place in life. And Alfred and Freddie are two dope, true G's in this game, because they make you have a feeling that you could just be natural. Then you want to talk about their clothing like you did. And I'm not trying to sell their product because it sells itself. But, dude, I'm wearing the Raptor version of the 86er shirt right now. Rocking my 86ers hat. So it's just comfortable, man. I'll be honest with you. I've got probably 300, 400 different apparel shirts in my closet, but I grabbed the 86ers.
You know what you like, and what you like is
today. Yeah.
That's the crazy thing as well. Their product is so good, you find yourself, no, I'm wearing this. This is what I like. I like this. I'm going to wear it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
You know, it's tremendous. Those guys, I tell you what, they just give me a bad time. I appreciate them so much. You know, but Lenton, on a serious note, how priceless is it for Lenton Vassell to be able to get this opportunity? I mean, because Bellator has a lot of fights, but the 200th promotional fight for Bellator is a big deal. How does it feel for you to be able to fight on this card with the fight that you pretty much wanted?
Again, Bellator don't cease to amaze me. You know, ever since took over, he's put me on some big cards. You know, so for me to be on this 200 card, it's stacking up to be a huge card.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm very thankful and grateful. One, to obviously fighting on Bellator 200. Two, fighting back home again. You know, I can't stress enough. Fighting back home means the world to me. So, you know, and I love to give back to all my fans, all my supporters. They unfortunately don't get to see me fight as often as they like, especially not in England. So this is a big one for me. And yeah, ready to fight Phil Davis, and actually, you know, put a win under my name again. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, I could hear it and I could feel it. You know, I know you're under the weather, but, you know, it was kind of like I had Daniel Cormier on my show right before UFC 200. And that's kind of why I got mixed up a little bit earlier. And, you know, he said, Don, I fought on, you know, many UFC cards, but this one truly means something to me. And, you know, it was harsh because this was 5 days out from the fight, and then 2 days later, John Jones got busted again and tested dirty, so he had to end up with another opponent. But still, he still got the fight on UFC 200. You know, you look at the career that you've – and I'm only going to ask you one or two more questions, and we'll let you go, bro. When you look at the career of Lenton the Swarm Vassell, you know – and you look over the shoulder and you look at the path that you're on, would you say that you're right where you wanted to be, or would you say that, you know, not having that championship gold has truly left you a step back and you won't be content until that strap's around your waist?
It's a weird one. Like, yes, obviously I want to be the champion, but I feel... I had so many holes in my game, you know, and I feel like these losses have made me come back stronger and realize, you know, that I know I'm gonna get that belt. So yeah, for me, these losses are definitely life lessons. It showed me where I had, you know, I had to work on a few things, and that's exactly what I did after the Emmanuel fight, exactly what I did after the Mo, and now the same with Bader. So yeah, you know, obviously I wish I was a champ, but I know. Go back to the drawing board, correct exactly what went wrong, have a great game plan for this fight, and I know I will get that belt. It's just a matter of time. So, yeah, I hope that answers your question. I'm probably rambling a little bit, but, you know.
You know, if the Swarm had to make a statement to Bellator Nation fans, you know, I already know what to expect because I watch each and every one of your fights. I've watched you over the years. I watched the growth in the Swarm, and I already know what's coming. So it, to me, it's already secondary. But if you had to make a statement to the people that truly support Linton Vassell about what they could expect come Bellator 200, or what they can just expect from the Swarm in life and his way of opportunities and giving thanks, what would that statement be, my brother?
Well, definitely tune in to 200 because I'm coming to fight. I'm coming to fuck shit up, you know. I've waited since November to be fighting. I felt like I could have fought in February, so I'm itching and chomping at the bit to get back in there and, you know, put a show on for the fans. So, yeah, they can expect a fucking good fight, a hard fight, and a finish from me.
Most definitely. You know, brother, I'm not going to keep you any longer. I know you're not feeling tremendous. You know, the only thing I'm going to do now is, first and foremost, when you get back home, give your family a hug for me. You got a tremendous family. Your sisters are, you know, what truly lights your life up. You could just tell when you're around family that it just totally is a different aspect of Linton Vassell. And I think that's what I appreciate about you the most is your love of life and your love of family, and then the warrior mentality comes second, because I think life is truly, you know, something that should be regarded and held close to heart, and I see you do that. So, you know, as always, I'm going to tell you, get your Manny and your Petty before the fight. Vassell Beauty and Care, you know. But I'm going to toss the microphone over to you, my friend. Any sponsors, any friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything you'd like to add to the program? I know you're not feeling well, so I'm going to hand the mic to you, and the floor is yours, brother.
Again, obviously, thank you for everyone that's, you know, been on the journey with me. Friends, family, followers, new followers, old followers, everyone, teammates, coaches from all over. You know, the support is truly appreciated. I'd like to give a big shout out to my sponsors, Determined Records, the 86ers, Factor 75, Legion Athletic, Vassell's Beauty, Alienware. Again, sorry if I have forgotten anyone. But yeah, thank you for all your support. It truly is appreciated. Again, thank you for having me as well.
Oh, it's always an honor. You owe me a full interview next time because you're sick, man. You get out of this one. But
I said, James, call me up. You know, we'll do it again a little bit closer to my fight. Also, you can follow me on social media. If you like snakes, if you like fighting, if you like me, well, any people trying to sing, to do reggae and just having a laugh, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Both is LDVass_theSwarm. Thank you very much.
Oh, most definitely. You get better, mate. Thank you so much.
I will, man.
I'm
starting to think right now, but yes, okay, I'm going to bed as we speak.
Yeah, well, you tell your family I send my warmest wishes, and I know you're going to fuck shit up in Bellator 200. That's the only way this form rolls. On that note, thank you, Linton, for giving me the time that
you
did. I look forward to the next interview. Get better, brother.
Very
God
well.
Bless you, mate.
Thank you. I will. Take care, pal. Thank you very much.
You too. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Linton the Swarm Vassell. You know, he actually called to cancel, but because we're brothers in life and we truly appreciate each other, I wouldn't let him, man. I was like, bro, you can't do this to me. You know, I was like, you got to come on. And he said, bro, I'll come on. I'll do the interview. But I wasn't going to hold him to the full 30-minute interview. He's not feeling tremendous. And, you know, I just don't roll that way, man. If you know me and you listen to my show, you know I don't roll that way in life. But what I am going to do, I'm going to jump to a quick commercial break, get things uploaded, and then hopefully we'll be able to get, by that time we'll get Charles Rodriguez on the phone, and we'll be able to talk some Glory Kickboxing 52, Los Angeles, March 31st. We'll be right back.
What up, it's your boy Slone Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of the Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
And we're back. You know, we got just about 7 minutes here before we call our next guest. You know, I kind of want to touch on a couple things. The show is growing so immensely, you know, which kind of humbles me and blew my mind. But, you know, it's growing tremendously, and the numbers are getting so big that, you know, I'm gonna have to go back down to 3 days a week on the sports shows as I also do music and I do other things. And the numbers on those shows are picking up quite steadily, and the traffic is getting to be too much. As I truly handle almost everything myself, just recently I had to add a PR person. So, you know, you'll know if it's not me because they'll identify themselves as another person. If you ever deal with me on social media in any aspect or give me a call and you don't get me, you know, but I kind of want to just say thank you to everybody from every genre that truly listens to the show, from iHeartRadio, Univision, iTunes, Stitcher, Blueberry, wherever the hell these people have my show. I have no idea anymore. It's more places than I even know. But the thing that I take away from it is humility and growth. You know, one thing, I'm going to be 52 years old, so I thought that life needed to be shared, and a true aspect, you know, the aspect that it was when I grew up in the older days. You know, I used to preach on the show that, you know, in the older days, but you know what, I realize that some of these fighters will never see those older days as if times have changed and they continue to change. You know, I think sometimes we want to hold on to memories that we grew up to, but we have to come to the realization that life moves on, and so do those memories. But you know, I try to bring real back into my show. I try to share the fighters, not just in the cage, but truly in life. And it's something that is really near and dear to my heart. And so, you know, with that being said, I just feel that pulling back just a little bit with the creation of the Don McGuire Radio Network, because there's so many shows now that I think I would, if I kept doing them at this rate, I would be doing an injustice to any fighter that I brought on my show. And, you know, I don't want to do my sponsors that way. I don't want to do the fighters that way. And most importantly, I don't want to give the fans a half-assed show. And that's something you won't get out of me. And, it bothers me like tonight, you know, when you get a fighter that's sick. And I won't change doing live radio. That's one thing I won't do. I mean, things come up. You got to deal with hiccups. Before, it used to screw with me in the head, but now you just got to realize that it was yesterday. And today's a new day, and you move forward, and you take what you can get, because a lot of times, a lot of shows can't get some of these fighters. And I'm blessed because I shoot them, and I interview them, but I also know them. So it kind of gives me an unfair advantage on who I want on my show and when I want them on the show. But this next guest, it'll be your first time for him, with Charles Rodriguez. I've never had him on the show before. I watched what he was doing from the background, and, you know, he's a tremendous athlete, and so I can't wait to get him on the show. We're going to take we're going to go to a music timeout real quick until I can get everything set up and get prepared for this next interview. I'm going to play some music from a guest that I just had on this last weekend. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. As you can tell, I'm trying to buy some time, but we're going to jump right into a song from Metanoise, and when we come back, we should be able to have Charles Rodriguez. Talking, but we're going to go ahead and give Charles Rodriguez a call. I can tell you that already.
Yo, yo, yo!
Charles, welcome to the Fighter's Voice. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
Oh, I'm very good, Don. Great to be here. I'm feeling good, just getting out of the gym. Whew.
You gotta love those moments. You know, here I had Linton the Swarm Vassell on first, and he was talking about after training today, he just kind of felt like crap. And you know, at first he hit me up and says, "Mate, I'm not gonna be able to do the show." And I said, "Man, we've been homies too long. You're not skipping out on me. You're coming on, bro." And so he came out. He gave me 20 minutes, you know. And, you know, you got to appreciate that in life. You know, it's just like with you. I've never met you before. That's what I was just telling my listeners. I kind of sat in the back, and I've watched the growth of Charles Rodriguez. You know, it's something I kind of do.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man. I only bring certain fighters on my show. I'll kind of explain me in a nutshell real quick. You know, Justin Baseman is a good friend of mine, and I happen to know he's a good friend of yours. you know.
Oh yeah, I love that guy. Great, great fighter. Heart of a lion.
Yeah. Well, you know, I kind of sit back and I believe the shows should be past, present, and future. I believe the shows that I should do should have somebody from each part of the sport, you know, a different aspect of it. And that's how I build a show. I build a show from my heart. I have a list that people want to come on a mile long, but I sit back and I watch fighters, and I truly, you know, get motivated by some. And you just happen to be one of those fighters, and I felt it was prevalent to have you on the show. What you're doing in the
sport. Oh, man, I'm crazy honored to hear that. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, the honor is all mine, actually. You know, so I'll kind of explain my show real quick. We kind of do it like a 360. I don't know if Justin told you or not, but we kind of look at you in the ring and in life, you know, to give a, because everybody sees what they see on social media. Everybody knows what you post, but do they truly know who you are? So with that being said, what was life like for Charles Rodriguez growing up, and what led you to this path that you're on now?
Oh, man, let's see. For a young Charles Rodriguez, it was all. I grew up in Vallejo in the Bay Area, and not a lot really going on there. So I guess I just got attracted to anything that I could really apply myself to in like an extreme way. And I guess one of the things that first caught my attention when I was in high school was wrestling. I liked the idea of the competition, the physicality of it, building myself, pushing myself, and like. Wrestling was grueling. It was a love-hate relationship for me, but the thing that kept me staying with it was the personal growth. Like I could see parts of me dying off or being forcibly killed off, and I could see me growing from it. And it was awesome. And pretty much everything that the only reason why I had any value of that was years of Bruce Lee movies and Ninja Turtles. So after watching those growing up, I knew that the only way to become awesome is to get beat up a lot and grow large muscles.
I love it. You know, when you look at, you know, kickboxing, you know, you generally got a person that can either come from either side, you know, truly the MMA side or the Muay Thai side. And looking at you, your reflection into the Muay Thai side is more of an essence, and it's more of an aspect of who you are as a fighter. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Oh yeah, there's not a lot I'm doing in the ring or in the gym that isn't like reflective of who I am. Like that's the thing. I feel like for me, martial arts is an art, and like art is expression. And I'm in there in a very, very real, very visceral sense. I'm being me and expressing me. So, and a lot of times people see me smiling in the ring, and like some people think it's like, you know, like talking crap to my opponent or like intimidation tactic. But really, I'm in there having fun. I'm in there. I genuinely love my sport. I love my opponents. I love the crowd. I love the whole culture of it. So when I'm in there smiling, when I'm in there doing my thing, I'm showing the world who I am. And like, at no point do I feel like I'm misrepresenting myself. Like I'm out there letting the world know who I am, and that's a really good feeling. And also, you know, hitting people.
Yeah, well, of course, the hitting people comes with a love of the sport. You know,
oh, for sure.
I'm a traditionalist at heart. I'm a true traditionalist at heart. I've had the opportunity to shoot Muay Thai, you know, for predominantly most of my career. You know, I've even been able to shoot Buckhaw. And, you know, Muay Thai.
Oh, nice.
Trust me, bro, that's a feeling you can't buy, you know. But
yeah, for sure.
You look at the respectful aspects of Muay Thai, and you look at the respect that the fighters show each other. How much does that reflect on you, Charles, when you step into into that realm, into that fight night, into that moment?
Really, it's a big deal for me. It's because one of the biggest things is I step into the ring feeling very comfortable. Like I go in there knowing this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And like a big part of that comfort is I'm not going in there with the stress of like, oh, I have to do this. I have to compete against this person's ego. I got to prove myself. Like, I'm going to go in there and display my art and display what I'm doing. And I know my opponent is also there for that. Like, we're definitely competitors. We're opponents. It's all that. But we both are sportsmen. And I feel like we're both, and like, I could see that. And I've been very blessed in my career to have some of the coolest opponents. Like, every opponent I've fought, I've had, like, I've hung out with afterwards. Like, we go have a beer. And, like, when we're in the ring together, we're both, like, we don't have that extra stress of, like, ego or this and that. Like, we're both going to try to hurt each other. Like, that's part of it. That's part of the respect. But I don't know. I feel like a camaraderie with that person. And it's really special. And, like, it helps motivate me, like, knowing that, like, let's not try to destroy each other, but let's just do everything we're capable of. And that just happens to translate into destroying each other. It leaves a good taste in my mouth, even when it's like a jab in my mouth.
I love it because, you know, going back to, it's funny that I did have Linton on tonight because they both came on, Liam McGarry and Linton Vassell both came on my show when they were...
Oh, awesome.
The first time in the UK. And, I mean, I've known them for a long time. They're brothers away from the show because, as you know, I shoot the sport also. But, you know, I asked Liam McGarry, I said, you know, how hard is it for you to go in there and fight a brother? He says, man, not hard at all. He said, you know, kind of like you did. I'll break bread with him before we go in there. I'll do whatever. But once that cage door locks, man, bro, it's like you're punching your time card. He said,
oh, absolutely. Hey, it's a day in the office for us.
Yeah. You know, so I love that aspect because, you know, a lot of people, they look at the sport and they think it's brutal. They don't think there's that camaraderie, but they truly only want to see the Conor McGregor-esque aspects of the sport. They want to see the Colby Covington aspect of the sport. They don't really truly look back and see the true definitive warriors like yourself. You know, what does it mean for you to get this opportunity on Glory 52? Because Glory is a tremendous promotion. They only bring in the best. And, of course, they saw that in you. So what does it mean for you to be able to fight for this promotion at Glory 52?
Well, Don, I'm gonna be candid with you right now. I've been actively avoiding thinking and talking about it, because to my knowledge, the way I see myself, I'm just some guy. Like, I'm just this humble kickboxer. I've been going to the same gym with the same coaches with the same program since, like, I was fighting smokers, and, like, I feel like I look down and look up, and all of a sudden my face is on Glory. And I'm like, well, wait, when did that happen? I can tell you what Glory means to me, because I'm not going to think about what Glory means to me fighting Glory. That's too big. We don't need to talk about that. But Glory, I'll talk about it as the amateur fighter that I still think I am. Glory is the destination. Like, that's the validation for a fighter. You could say Glory anywhere in the world, and they're like, oh, you're a kickboxer. Like, you're doing it. You might as well be Jean-Claude Van Damme at that point. And I'm like, yeah, one day me and Glory will make it. But that's somewhere far off in the future. That's not 2 weeks away. I'm just going to go ahead and keep my head down and throw the same punches I've been throwing and working myself till I feel like I'm dead. And then just maybe one day I'll make it to Glory.
Well, that day is coming, you know, and I get your train of thought, man, because, you know, I get your train of thought because,
mm-hmm.
That's one thing, you know, I'm originally from the 916, but, you know, because I've been a sport.
Hey!
Yeah, you know, I know what Vallejo is like. I used to kick it there. But, you know, I've watched a lot of fighters come up. I watched JT Donaldson. I watched Xavier Vigne. You know.
Those are my dudes. Team Black all day.
Yep, Dan Black's my homie, bro. But, you know, I've watched these guys come up. You know, and even like Willie Whipple, all these guys, JT Donaldson, and all the other ones, you know, it's like, you know, to see the inspiration, the guidance, and the motivation that you exert when you talk about Team Black and these other fighters, you could tell you truly love the sport. So, you know, truly, other than, you know, beating each other up, what do you take away from the sport, Charles? What does it mean to you as a man? What have you gained from it in that retrospect?
Really? I think one of the biggest things to make it, like, it makes it super personal for me is I found myself in the sport. Like this is who, it's not even just who I am or who I've become. In a way, I feel like I'm becoming who I've always been. This is the realist Charles. Like every day I was walking around without this in my life, it was me looking for this. So, I mean, it's got me, it's, of course, it's made me more disciplined. It's got me in great shape. I've met so many friends and so many people, and like, you know, with promotions like Glory, one day I'll be able to like see the world with this. But like, I think the biggest thing, the most important thing is it's allowed me to be me. Like my family now sees who I really am. My friends are like, wow, you're this guy. And I'm like, yeah, I've been this guy. And like, but I'm still the same person in the ring and outside of the ring. It's just more of me. I feel like my horizons have been expanded. My eyes have been opened. And like, it's just, man, it's just an overwhelming amount of joy that I can't thoroughly express. It's just, I wake up every day happy that I have this in my life.
Well, you know, you could truly tell. You know, the funny part about it is that you can hear the sheer joy, and I love that aspect when I have fighters on, that you can hear the sheer joy of just being in the sport, you know, through the phone. And a lot of people say, well, you can't do that. Well, yeah, you can, because here it is, man. You hear a fighter that's truly loving what he does. You know, when you look at the family aspect of your journey, how beneficial has it been to you, Charles, to have the motivation, the backing, and the guidance, not just from your teammates, but family?
Oh, man. I beneficial doesn't even begin to explain it. It's absolutely integral. Like, it's the most necessary thing. Like, I humbly accept praise and, oh, Charles, you're a great fighter. I'm like, oh, thank you. But really, I have an amazing support system. My family, my team, who is like an extended family to me, I couldn't do it without them. Like, I have some of the best coaches. Like, they care about me so much. They put my success and my happiness so priority in their lives. Like, they've made as a fighter, I'm making sacrifices. I'm putting in the work. But like, people around me are lifting me up every day to put me where I am. Like, all my victories, all my accomplishments would have never find them on my own. Like, between my sparring partners, like my boy Kaylee Scott, he's fighting on the 31st as well. He's been my training partner since like the get, and he makes sparring with him has made all my other fights easier. Matt Baker from Team Black, we've been training together forever as well. He was one of the guys who one of the first people I knew to fight on Glory. So like, just being around a guy who was on Glory meant so much to me. My coach George Tsutsui, being around and being trained by a legend every day, like you can't beat that. There's like so many awesome people around me that I feel like I'm doing good. I'm a pretty cool fighter, but like, nothing without my squad.
I hear you there. You know, and you happen to throw out another name of a gentleman that I shot as an amateur, and that's Matthew Baker. You know,
oh, that's a scary guy.
Yeah, he was scary as an amateur, man. Look at him now. You know, it's like, that's mm-hmm. one thing that's a great great opportunity in the sport, and a lot of people get pissed off because, you know, I get to go shoot you guys, but at the same time I get to meet you, and then of course you guys come on my show, and then I get to know you that way. So then it becomes like second nature, and it becomes family. You know, a lot of people are like, how in the hell does he get these people on his show? But you know, it's because I've been in the sport. You know, I'm about transparency, I'm about always remembering and giving back. And I tell you what, Dan Black, me and him go back to the old WFC days, way, way back. And, you know, I will always represent Team Black and Gilbert Melendez and all those people up there for truly what they've done for the sport. You know, Dan, when I first met him, Dan had a baby beard. Now to see him with a full-grown Santa Claus beard is kind of crazy in the big belly. But, you know,
We call him Demon Caveman Jesus.
And I can see how that would fit perfect. You know, how much wisdom and knowledge, because I hear you talk about your gym, but how much wisdom and knowledge would you say, Charles, that Dan Black has given you or bestowed upon you that has helped you further, you know, the betterment of your career?
Oh, man, Dan Black is one of the coolest guys. And, like, yeah, knowledge-wise, he makes things so simple. Like, there's a lot of flash, there's a lot of big talk in MMA and martial arts and everything like that, and Dan Black will take, like, these big concepts and just, like, break them down for you and make it very simple. Like, he's a very straight shooter. Like, he doesn't have time for any of the bull. So every time he, like, sits me down and, like, passes some information on to me, it happens in, like, 2 minutes and he blows my mind. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I didn't even think about throwing it like that. Like, I didn't even think about guarding a technique like that. And it's great. Like, one of my favorite things about him is he's super old school. Like, there's so much, like, studies and research and this and that, and he's privy to all of it, but he's, like, he still knows all the gems that, like, came from, like, the hard work era when it was just grit and heart and knuckles and bones. And having that around and having that reminder is pretty interesting. And, like, most of the times his wisdom comes into, Charles, you know, stop being a bitch. And, like, that's the kind of knowledge you can't buy. I'd be like, but coach, I have to do this and my electrolytes, and I think I'm a little dehydrated. Stop being a bitch. I'm like, your words have moved me, Coach Black. Thank you.
I love it, man, because it explains Dan to a T. And if my listeners don't understand, just follow Dan Black a little bit and you will.
Oh, yeah. You know, if you look up Dan Black on YouTube, there's still those videos of him having people bounce bats on his head, because apparently Dan Black died back in, like, 89, and, like, no one's told him. I swear he's a zombie. Like, we'll spar, and he doesn't block anything. He just takes shots to the dome. I kick him in the leg as hard as I can. I knee him in the body. And he just smiles and nods, and I'm like, all right, this guy doesn't have a pulse, obviously.
Right? that guy's crazy. You know, I think the only time – God, and I hate to differ from the interview real quick, but – The only time I think I ever seen him faded or upset was the day that the X-Men decided to walk away from Glory Kickboxing. And that was the only time I think that I've ever seen Dan dismayed in all the years that I've known him. But, you know, he's got fighters all across the country, all across California. You know, you look at I would say it's a dot. It's not a circle that you're in. It's a dot. How honored does it feel for you, Charles, to have such an intricate, pertinent part of kickboxing for you to go to, ask questions to fall back on? What does it mean for you stepping into Glory 52 to have that type of knowledge in your pocket?
Oh, that's everything for me. So many people, I think that they have to go to these situations and not have that kind of backing, and not have, like, someone who's been there, someone who has glory, competition under their belt and stuff like that. And I'm going in there with that knowledge. It doesn't feel like I'm stepping anything too new. Like, I don't have to have, like, the big starry eyes about it, because I've been around those people since I stepped into it. Like, Dan Black has been a part of my career since day one. And, like, I'm always training under Team Tatsui and Combat Fitness and Concord, but, like, Dan Black's always been, like, adjacent to that. So to always know that, like, I'm in proximity of glory talent, the coaching of glory and the athletes who have been in glory, like, it's made it always in a way not too unattainable. And, like, any information that I get from him, I'm, of course, going to hold on to, because I know where it's coming from. You know, he's got the stamp of approval.
You know, sometimes in life, and I like to ask this question because I like to get different, you know, answers from different fighters, you know, especially different genres. But, you know, whenever you have that moment, you know, we walk through a parking lot and we'll look in a car window, or we're walking down a path in the park and we look in a puddle and we get a reflection, just a glance into who we are. What does Charles Rodriguez see?
Man, I see a 12-year-old boy who's dreaming of becoming a fighter, and somehow I'm, like, looking at that dream in the face.
Yeah, wow. You know, you're actually living the dream. You just haven't realized it yet, my brother. You know,
yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and realize I'm fighting in glory after I fought in glory. That's the plan.
Yeah. You know, I understand that, you know, because I've been doing these shows for a long time, so I understand that thought process, you know, and I think you see a lot of that trait in a lot of great fighters. You know, they, you know, I use this reference sometimes, but it's like Kung Lee when I had him on my show. He said, you know, when I asked him about all of the things that he's accomplished to this point in his life, and he said, you know, Don, I don't look back at my accolades. I don't look back at the things I've done because it takes away from the future. Would you say that that's kind of the same train of thought for Charles Rodriguez?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, my biggest thing is you're not as good as your you're only as good as your next fight. Like I don't like to let my, like, if I'm looking back at accomplishments, looking at that point, you might pat yourself on the back too much. You might relax and be like, oh, maybe I don't need to run that extra mile because I've already done this. Or like, oh, I'm good enough. I don't need to train quite as much. Like, nah, once you've won, that you've done it, it's good. Now we gotta look at what that next step is. That's what keeps you hungry. That's what keeps you hungry. That's what keeps you growing.
And I love that aspect because, you know, hell, I even use the expression, I'm only as good as my last fight, because, you know, I screw up shooting. Nobody's going to hire me, and fighters screw up fighting, you know. They don't want to look at you twice, you know. But I do kind of want to kind of corral you a little bit. I know it's, you know, you're on cloud nine right now, and I know you don't want to put too much into what's coming into your life because you want to take life day by day. But kind of take my listeners and your fans through what it meant to get that call from Glory, if you could.
I'll dip my toe into that pool. Well, the first thing, it kind of hit me in waves, and one of the biggest things that I realized, like I said, I've been around Glory competitors like since I started at Combat Fitness, but I realized that I'm going to be the first guy from my gym, the first Team Tatsui fighter to fight in Glory, and that for me was huge, because like I expressed before, my team means everything to me, and one of the biggest things is I like to pioneer for my team, and to get this door opened, and like to see that, like, that's going to have that effect on my teammates and the rest of my team, that meant a lot to me. And really, it was just like, now it's something that's real. Like, I've been a fighter, I've been a kickboxer, I've been a Nakmai for like the past 6-7 years, and it's like, but now it's like the big stamp. Like, now I have to really, because a part of myself has always been like, I'm pretty good, like, you know, I'm a good fighter, it's cool, and like, that's kind of my attitude about it. But now it's like, now I'm about to be a part of something that I recognize is amazing, and I have to start really adjusting to, like, I'm not just some guy anymore. Like, I'm not just doing this as a hobby. Like, I'm a professional fighter, and I got the call from Glory. And I think when my coach, like, to give you my initial reaction and how my mind works, I was at the gym when my coach told me, and I went home. I was like, I'm gonna go hide for a little bit. I went home and went under my bed for like a day, and I was like, that came out. I was like, all right, let's rise to the challenge. Let's get good enough for Glory.
I love it because, you know, coming from somebody, I guess I think I've seen, isn't your nickname the rock star?
Yeah, that's my name. So, yeah, I guess I have the nickname to go for it now, because they're like, this is rock star stuff. I was like, it was a joke. It was a joke nickname. This got out of control. But yeah, but if anything, let me switch back on to rock star persona. Hey man, this is where I'm supposed to be, baby. Rock star, ready for Glory. They gave me the call because they knew I was good. I'm ready to kick it. Boom, bam. I'm gonna own Glory. Glory's my home.
I love it, man, because, you know, it's tremendous to have somebody like you on my show, you know, because, honestly, I've been watching your career, and, you know, there's certain aspects that I wait for in a fighter's career, and we were already friends on Facebook, you just didn't realize it, and, you know, so I kind of watched your career a little bit, and, you know, I find diligence in that, because I think I'd like to say I've been in the sport long enough to find a tremendous fighter. And, you know, then I started looking a little bit more. And a lot of people are seeing in Charles Rodriguez what I'm seeing in Charles Rodriguez. What does it mean for you as a man and a fighter to have the sport look at you in this aspect and finally get the accolades you deserve for what you've done to date?
Oh, man. Oh, goodness. In a way, I guess, I'm home. Like, I'm just where I'm supposed to be. I guess I've been calling myself the rock star for this long. It's like, now I'm right, I guess. I'm sorry, I'm stammering right now, because, like I said, this is still a very emotional thing for me. God willing, you know, I go on Glory and I win. That's what I'm training for. That's what I'm fighting for. But if I win and they hand me the mic, it's gonna be a mess. Like, Charles, how do you feel right now? I'm like, Glory's so cool, and I love kickboxing, and I love my team. It's gonna be bad. Like, that's what's coming out of me already. Like, too many feelings, too many emotions. I fight with my whole heart, and, like, when we talk about fighting, my whole heart starts coming out, and sometimes my heart just has words. It just has stammering and groans.
I love it, man, because it just shows the true enthusiastic, you know, person who you are, not just as a warrior, but, you know, in the aspect what the sport means to you. You know, I know you don't talk shit, and I know you don't want to look too forward into the future, but if you had to make a statement for everybody that has backed you to this point, the people that see the greatness in Charles Rodriguez, or just anybody who's added to your life to this point, if you had to give a statement of thanks, what would that statement be, Charles?
Oh, man. I guess to everyone, because there's so many people who's contributed to me. Like I said, I'm a sum of my parts. And I guess, like, I want everyone to understand, like, everyone who supported me, everyone who's believed in me, everyone who's even just, like, gave me an awesome show. Like, all of them, I couldn't do it without them. They're an integral part of what I do. They're absolutely, completely a part of my success. And, like, I couldn't do it without them. I couldn't do it without my supporters, without my quote-unquote fans. They're pretty much all just, like, my friends. And, without my team, like, I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it without them.
That's a truly a tremendous statement, because, you know, you get these fighters that make it and they become complacent and they forget about the people that got them there. You know, I did a post the other day that, you know, truly believe in the people that believed in you when you were nobody. And I think that's how you should live life. You know, I'm 52 years old. I'm an OG in life. And, you know, I think it was it's a tremendous aspect to have you on the show and see the piss and vinegar in you and see the rock star in you and, you know, hear the humility that you share. And I love it. You know, you gave me a new analogy. You know, you're only as good as your next fight, you know, and I truly appreciate that, because watching your career, you've been in some twisted fights, you've been in some grudge matches, and you've always overcome adversity, and now you get this opportunity for Glory 52, and it's a tremendous accolade to you, because not only is it Glory, but it's just right down the street, pretty much in your own backyard. So the opportunity is there for you to shine. You know, my friend, I told you I'd keep you about 20-25 minutes. I'm a man of my word. First and foremost, Charles, I hope to get you back on after your fight so we can talk about your fight, since you're so humble about it in that aspect, which I appreciate. You know, but I would love to have you back on for a little bit longer of a segment. We'll talk about your outing in Glory and what it meant to you. You know, as you're truly a tremendous fighter that's on a lot of people's radars. You just haven't realized it yet, young man. I think you got a great
I keep my head down a good amount, sir. Yes.
It's a good thing. You know, everybody thinks that it's not a good thing. I think it's a tremendous attribute to who you are. You know, first and foremost, my friend, I'm honored you joined me tonight, but I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. If there's any final thoughts, any social media sites, any family members, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program before I let you go, the floor is yours, Charles.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, first of all, thank you, Don, very much for giving me this call. When you hit me up, I went and checked out a little bit about your program. I was like, this is a big deal. I'm super excited to be a part of this. Justin Bazin was telling me about you, and, of course, another fighter I got a lot of respect for. So thank you very much for having me on. Big ups to your show. Of course, I got to thank my sponsors who have been supporting me for a good amount of time. Cali Born Dream, they got a great CBD product that helps me out with my inflammation and problems like that. I've been supported by a bunch of local businesses like Crystal Property Management in Vallejo. A lot of people see me in my Dragon Ball Z nerd fandom, and my Dragon Ball Z clothes come from JustSaying.com. Love them. Of course, big shout-out to my team, Team Tatsui and Concord, training at Combat Fitness. My biggest sponsor, my mom. Make sure that I don't eat too many cookies when I'm around the family. You know, always, that's one of the most important things that goes into becoming a fighter. Let's see. Am I forgetting anything? I'd like to thank my right bicep for making me look hella good in pictures. That's definitely big shout out to old righty. Left one, not so much. Right one's definitely where the money's at. That's their social media. Oh yeah. Instagram, Agent Tornado. Oh, what did I just do?
You're there still, man.
Oh, there we go. Oh, yeah. Yeah, social media, Charles Rodriguez on Facebook, Agent Tornado on Instagram, and Rockstarish on Twitter. I think that's everything.
You know, my friend, I can't wait. I can't wait for a few more weeks because the world is going to be shocked and the world is going to be under the charm of the rock star, man. You truly are a blessing to the sport. I love your humility, man. I love you. I love just the way you think in life, because you could tell, for one thing, like I said, you've been around Dan Black and a lot of people that I knew as kids and shot them growing up. And it's great to see this humble aspect with integrity still in the sport. Keep being who you are, my brother. Don't change. I wish you the best of luck. Come Glory 52. It was truly an honor to have you on the show. I look forward to having you back on. And good luck, my friend. I wish you the best in your journeys. And I'm going to get you back on, and we're going to talk about fighting next time, because it's not just going to be a dream. It's going to be reality.
I'll hopefully be a little bit more prepared to talk to you then. I won't be too freaked out and nerding out about Glory then. I'll bring the rock star persona and be like, "Hey, Glory wasn't no thing. Just a Tuesday to me."
Next time I'll break you down like Justin Baseman told you. No, my show, man.
There you go.
Actually, before I let you go, at least you're the rock star, man. They call me the Barbara Walters of MMA, bro. So, I mean,
that sounds dangerous.
Rock star. Yeah, I would take rock star any day of the week. Thank God Pat Miletich came on and said he disagreed. For one thing, I don't have tits, and the other is he compared me to the chief journalist for the Washington Post. So coming from Pat Miletich, I'll take that any day of the week, you know. But on that note,
there you go.
God bless you, brother, and I wish you the best of luck on Glory 52. You're a tremendous man in life, and I appreciate you. Thank you for coming on the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Don. You have a great night, brother.
You too, brother. God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, that was enthusiastic Charles Rodriguez set to fight his pro debut in Glory. He didn't really want to talk about it too much because it's still a dream for him, and I love it, you know, and the rock star mentality that he has is truly tremendous. He's a cool cat, man. I can't wait to have him back on the show. We're going to take a little brief intermission, and when we come back, we're going to have Shannon the Cannon Rich. Sorry, wrong button. Oh, it's just one of them days. I tell you what.
I'm in the booth. Say something on the mic. Booth. Say something heavy.
Yo, yo, yo. That's what I'm talking about. My young boy up in the booth. He get ready to kick it live.
Whip form might get deported. Fish me alive, less than anointed. Wrote this at 111, recorded. Clock struck 12, bank on Warner. My sound was stony, just for some stock, nigga. Still independent, bending the lock, nigga. Cream on the seats, cream of the crop, nigga. Had to wait for the heat, then whip the yacht. Talk overseas, no Portuguese. I made kiss on the sleeve, my soul is clean. Hold greater respect, or just a check. Lessons in the city where they breathe them on the back. Papa told me, don't trust no more.
That's enough of that. I apologize for the intermission. Sometimes we got to take a drink in life, and I had to. But we're going to jump on the line with Shannon the Cannon Rich. Or not. Live radio, you gotta love it. I tell you what, Shannon, are you on there? Let's go ahead and try to give Shannon a call back and see where we get with that. He probably doesn't realize I'm calling from the studio, which is a New York area code, and that's something I forgot to tell him, even though he's been on his show multiple times. Let's go ahead and try to give Shannon a call back.
Shannon BJJ.
Hey, Shannon, this is Don McGuire with the Fighter's Voice. How you doing, brother?
Who's this?
Don McGuire with the Fighter's Voice. Your radio interview?
Yeah. Fuck. But you said 8 o'clock. It's 7.
You're on Pacific. You're on Pacific
Arizona
time, aren't you?
I don't know. I'm Arizona
God.
Time. We don't change. Yeah, I'm right in the middle of teaching class. You told me 8 o'clock.
I thought you were on Mountain Time. I'll go ahead and call you back, sir. I apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's all good. No, it's all good. I didn't recognize the number, and I was like, I better call. Answer it.
Okay, so, yeah, you're not good for another hour then, right?
Yeah. Is that
okay?
Okay,
I'll give you a call back.
All right, man. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Shannon. Well, that goes to show you the I can screw up, too. What we'll do is we'll go ahead and we'll run an interview with Shannon at 9 o'clock. Well, I guess it'd be 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. I apologize for theirs. We're going to go ahead and end this episode, and that's the way tonight is gone. And we'll just go ahead and rerun Shannon in another hour. If you're looking for Shannon Rich's interview, we will go live in an hour with Shannon Rich. Until then, I'm Don McGuire. Have a blessed evening.